appreciate the welcome. We, of course, know many of you, and many of you we don't. It's been a long time since we were here and pastored, and it's always great to see the faces that you know and meet new ones. Well, tonight, now I'm doing a night service. This morning, I want to share something that I hope will bring encouragement to you. And I'm going to start, if you want to work your way in your Bible, to 2 Samuel chapter 23. That's usually when it's better for you. One thing about me with speaking, and most of you will remember from before, whether the mic was on or not, you usually heard me because I got a big mouth and I talk loud. So if I get loud, I do apologize. Is it working yet? Okay, good deal. See, he knows how to control the sound too. Some places I just start blaring at people. Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, what I'd like to just give you a basis of what I'd like to talk about this morning is I'd like to talk about who we are in the Lord as far as a warrior. Have you ever thought of yourself as being a warrior? You know, I know we got some younger kids here. There's probably others that have played video games. Anybody play all those games where you're spending all your time killing people? Well, I'm going to start out with killing people. Okay, because the warriors that I'm going to be talking about here in 2 Samuel are the warriors that worked with David, who was to become the king. And David had some what they called mighty men. And I want to talk and read about three of those guys and kind of lay this as a background, and then I'll take you into where I want to bring the word, where the rubber meets the road, and today. Because you know what? You can be a warrior. We don't fight with swords and spears and kill people and destroy things and people, but we are warriors for Christ. We are the arms of God. We are the feet. We are the mouth. And we need to step up to the plate and not only do the work of God, but live it the way He told us to live it. So let's start here in chapter 23, and we're going to begin in verse 8. And you can already start laughing as I try to read some of these names because they're tough for me and I have a hard time with them. But we'll try and muddle our way through it. It says in verse 8, these be the names, these will be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Technonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino and the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 who he slayed at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defiled the Philistines that were there gathering together to battle, and the men of Israel were all gone away. He rose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand cleaved to the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to the spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agiah, the Horite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and he slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Now, these same guys, while David was sitting one day in the camp, we're sitting around David, and you know, I'm not going to go and read all of this down, but further down it says that David said, you know, man, I am thirsty, and I would love to have some of that water out of that well just inside the gate. And you know what they did? They went and broke through the wall of the people, the enemy, the Philistines, And they busted in and they went to the well and they filled up a vessel full of water and brought it back to David. Well, what does that mean to you and me? Think about how committed they were to the one they served. Everything in the Old Testament is talking about things that we're supposed to be learning. They're there so that we can learn what we're supposed to do and how we're to conduct ourselves. They were, as I like to say, sold out the whole route. It didn't matter what was going on around them. If they were in the presence of their master, their king, and he said, I want some water out of that well. Three men went. Now, these three men killed, I don't know how many hundreds. One of them, it talks about, there was over 800. The other took out a whole army with a sword. Another one stood in the middle of the field and fought in a crop of lentils, their food. And all of this was done by three people. And they went in, went through the army to get there. And David was not really happy that they did it when they got back, because he wasn't actually asking them to do that. He said, I will not drink of this water. And he poured it out on the ground. And he said, these men put their blood life online to get what I needed. And he said, if this is what these three men can do, he said, let's raise up and let's go. And they went in and they took the city back. You see, we're here to take the city back. We're here to set the captives free.
That's right.
We're here to do the work of God. But one thing you'll find out is that the ones that are committed, the warriors that are listed here in this scripture, were committed. They were just like Paul and Silas when they got beat and thrown into a prison. Instead of sitting in the corner and whining and complaining about it, they started singing praises unto the Lord. And we all know the story. The earthquake came and the jails opened up and all the shackles miraculously fell off of everybody's arms. God wasn't just setting Paul and Silas free. He was setting the captives free. And why do you think that it happened for them? Because they were sold out the whole route. Because when you're committed to God, and I meet a lot of Christians through the years, they can quote the scripture, they talk the scripture, they look good, they sound good, but they don't do anything for God. They still think that just, well, serving the Lord is something I do, but I can live my life the way I want. God already said, all things are clean unto me. But if you read the rest of that verse, it says, but not all things edify me. You see, we may have freedoms that you would think that would give us the freedom to do everything, but you better be careful about what you're doing. Turn with me into 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we are going to begin there with being a warrior. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10 and chapter 10 verse 13. Precious Heavenly Father, I just ask you to touch and bless and use me to glorify your name. Let the words that come out of my mouth be your words, Lord, not my words. My words are of no value. My words are just words. But your words, Lord, are power and authority. And I ask, Lord, that you would help me to impart this word the way you want it imparted, bringing encouragement that will take us to the next level in our walks with you. Because, Lord, you are the answer to all our problems and all our situations. Thank you, Father. A warrior today is going to be powerful when they follow God's commands. You can attend church. You can pretend to be a Christian. You can live a life that looks good to people around you. But know this, God knows those that are His. And He takes care of them. I assume, you know, and generally speaking, you know, a pastor, if you will, pretty much preaches to the choir. You know, I mean, usually you're not someplace, you know, unless you're doing an evangelistic something and you get, you know, a lot of people that are unsaved coming in. Most of the time, we're just preaching to each other. But I don't know about you, but I need encouragement. Amen. So that's what I'm trying to do today, is I want to bring encouragement. Because in this verse here in chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." What does that mean? Well, to me, what that means is that when the enemy comes and he tries to tempt me to do something, go somewhere, drink something, whatever it is, smoke something, the enemy wants to destroy you. Don't ever forget that. But according to this scripture, you have the ability, I have the ability to withstand it and know that God is going to make a way. God will give you the strength if you will ask Him for it. There are many, many Christians today that are living in the world, and they may have made a commitment to the Lord at times. I mean, I think about all the churches all over the world that have changed their doctrines and changed their, trying to think of what the right word is. They write a list of their beliefs. And they have changed to the point where it doesn't matter if you're a homosexual, it doesn't matter if you're a transgender, it doesn't matter if you're anything. They're saying that everything is okay. We have to accept everyone. Well, I love everyone, but I'm not going to be living with everyone. And my home is a place in heaven, and heaven says nobody that is defiling the Word of God is going to go to heaven. So maybe a little encouragement here too. Because God does give you the ability to withstand evil. You are a victor and a warrior, and you are one that can set somebody else free and take out the enemy that is in front of them, but we're going to do it through prayer and living for God. Because we're not picking a sword up. You know, I laugh, and please don't take any offense if anybody in here is what I'm talking about. But all the people that are worried about the enemy coming and having somebody come through the back door with an AR-15 and shoot, I mean, almost every church that I go to or have been to lately in the last 10 years has somebody packing. I've been to a church that every woman in the church just about was packing. Living in fear. Now, I believe that as a group, we need to protect each other, and there's nothing wrong with having a security team to take care of what has to be taken care of. But make sure you're doing it for the right reason, because if you're living in fear, if you're living and you're packing because you're afraid to die, I want you to know something. You're going to die when God says you're going to die, and you ain't going to change it. That's just a fact. And if somebody comes through the door and they shoot me this morning, then it's my time. Then God said, I'm taking you home. I'm not going to worry about it. I refuse to live a life of fear and doubt and worry. I will go home when I go home. I hope to be healthy and strong all my life. Like most people, I'd like to go in my sleep. If I don't get to go in the rapture, I'd love to go in my sleep. I don't want to die of cancer. I don't want to die of any of those things. But you know what? Life is what it is. Amen. And if it happens, it happens. If you end up with an ailment or you've got a problem and you're just remember to live for God. Even through the hard times, you know, I mean, think of all the disciples and all that they did. Think of all the things they went through. How many of us would like to end up on a cross upside down like Peter was, according to history? He didn't feel worthy to be crucified like Christ, so he said, turn me upside down. If you're going to crucify me, turn me upside down. Now that's commitment. We serve a mighty God. When I first got saved, I used to worry about how I would die, if I would be a martyr, because I started reading the Word and hearing what they were doing, and I'm like, dude, this is not a fun game. But then the Lord began to speak to me, and I started learning about people that had victories in their life. While they, the one family, I remember a family that I read about, and I think it was China, I could be wrong, but it's been probably 40 years, so you can take it with a grain of salt. But his family, they took and they shot one at a time. They started with his youngest child, and they worked through the entire family, and then they shot his wife. And what they were doing is they put a gun to the kid head, and they said that, if you don't denounce Christ, I'm going to shoot your child. And this man did it, and they went all the way through until they did it to the father. And the father was shot in the head. And then they just left all the bodies. And somebody came along. Dad was still alive. Dad became a missionary. He became a missionary to America. He got out. Somebody saved his life, got him healed. And he said he felt like God was telling him to come to America. And he came to America and lived the rest of his life preaching Jesus Christ. It don't matter. Trusting God in all things. In 1 John 2:16, it talks about temptations. It talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Have you ever heard anything spoken about that before anywhere else in the Bible? Anybody? Nobody? It's like a test, you know, seeing if everybody knows it, you know. Because you're supposed to know what I'm thinking, so you should already know, you know. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? Well, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Genesis. When Eve ate of the apple, what was she tempted by? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It looked good to eat. It was promised that she would not die. She had life, you know, because he said, will you surely die? Is God really saying you'll surely die? And the pride of life, because, you know, I mean, oh, you'll be like God. You'll know everything God knows. Well, that didn't really work out that well, did it? Because spiritually, they did die and were separated from God. Second, they were kicked out of paradise. And third, they started having to work the land and work the animals. Before, it was just a garden. They just sat around and watered stuff maybe, or maybe it watered itself. I know God, in the scripture it says there was dew every morning that took care of everything. But you see, when you make a decision to go against the teachings of God, he will separate himself from you. It's not going to always be there. In Matthew, let's go to Matthew 23, verse 12. Here's a commandment that he gave to us. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. How many times do you find people that are busy trying to build their character and their image up? It happens a lot, even in the church. You know, it's like, well, I'm this or I'm that. I personally find it a little horrid when I go out with another pastor and you have lunch or something, and the pastor will say, well, I'm a minister. Do I get a 10% discount? You know what? The world don't owe you nothing. I don't care if you're the preacher of a church of 10,000 or if you're a preacher of five. The world don't owe you nothing. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you should get a discount everywhere you go. Now, that's my personal opinion. But that's because those that exalt themselves, God will abase. Because even if it's a legitimate thing, and maybe it says on the front door, if you're a pastor, I'll give you a 10% discount. You know, like a senior. You know, it was kind of awkward when you get to that age where all of a sudden when you go to check out and they're always saying, "Are you a senior?" No. Do I look like a senior? Well, in the spirit, we don't get any older, folks. I still feel like I did when I was 18, 20. It doesn't matter. My body doesn't agree with that all the time, but my spirit still thinks I'm young. But the body does get old, doesn't it? But we need to remember not to lift ourselves up, but we are to always look at others. Your job is not to figure out what you can get from God, but for what you can do for God. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and I want to read verses 1 through 4. Says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being according to one, being of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Do we spend time caring about the others? I would sure hope we do. I know that as a true Christian, we should be. But when you adapt these qualities, when you bring these qualities into your life and you begin to act and talk and look like a Christian because you are a child of God, people will begin to notice things without you ever telling them anything. There's been evangelists in the past that Catherine Kuhlman, she was invited to come into a plant and pray for the people. The owner of the company had invited her. And when she came into the plant, before she ever got where they were planning on going, there were people getting and dropping down to their knees and beginning to ask God to forgive their sins and asking the Lord in. You see, we don't need to tell people who we are. We need the people to know who we are. Because when you're sold out to Christ, they should see it and hear it without you telling it. You know, I do traveling sales. I haven't been on the road as much as I had been with the COVID and everything. But I was in traveling sales, and I mean, there's times when, you know, you have to be bold and you have to forget who you are and forget about being looked at funny. You know, I had a lady one time in Arizona or Arkansas that when I came in, I asked her how she was doing, and she told me all about how she was in this and her pain and this and that. And I asked if I could pray for her, and she said, of course. You know, just because you're there to sell a piece of equipment to a company doesn't mean you can't stop and do some of God's work on the way. I mean, we're to be that light. We're to set the captives free. And I don't know about you, but I miss the days, and maybe some of you still have it, but where I live, I've only got like maybe two couples or two people that we can go to that the conversation is 100% around God when you just sit around and talk. The rest of them, it's like, well, I'm doing this and I'm building that, and did you hear what that sports team was doing? I had one of the gentlemen at church was saying something. He said something about, I think it was the Raiders or something. He says, "Oh, well, you probably like the Raiders. You're from California." And I says, "I don't follow baseball." It took him a second, you know, to think about what I was saying. But I was just letting him know that's not my life, you know. A lot of people have a hobby. There's nothing wrong with a hobby. Mine's working with my hands. I like to build things. I like to fix things. You know, and the house I bought, I'm covered for the rest of my life. Bought an old 1918 Craftsman two-story, and I've been working on it for 8 years, and I'll probably be working on it until I can't work on it anymore. But that's my hobby. I do one thing. I live for God. And I'm not exalting me. I'm not telling you, be like me. If you're like me, you'd be wasting your time. You need to be like Christ. And you need to be who Christ wants you to be, not who the church wants you to be. Question is, are you a warrior? A warrior sets themselves apart. A warrior is somebody who doesn't exalt himself. He exalts others. A warrior is somebody who doesn't spend his time doing the things that are not right. You can look at the world and you can say, but the world's doing that. Well, the world doesn't know who Jesus is. I remember I had a lady one time that was concerned about her husband. And she said, "I've done everything I can to witness to him, and he just won't hear it. He doesn't understand." And I said, "No, and he's not going to by your hounding him." I said, "What you need to do is just live it in front of him." I said, if you keep pushing and pushing and pushing, you're going to push him away. And she... Actually, the church we were pastoring was in Stockton, California. And when we left there, I got a letter from her on Christmas. I think it was the next year or 2 years after it. And she said, "I just wanted to let you know that my husband came to the Lord. And I wanted to thank you for the wisdom that you gave me." It's not my wisdom. It was God's wisdom. Because you see, only God knows what everybody needs. We're just vessels of service. But are we making sure we're clean vessels? That's my point today. Are we making sure that we're vessels that are serving God in God's image, following God's commandments, so that when we do things, people see God through us? I've only got an hour left, so don't worry. Nobody told me how long the service goes, and since I only got 15 minutes, I figured I'm just going for it. Turn with me to Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1, and I'm going to read down through verse 10. Listen what the Apostle Paul's telling us here. He says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on the things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify," or kill is the word I always use here, "therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sakes the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created you." How many of us have the old man knocking on our door every now and then trying to get in? I do. There's times that he just kind of just raises his head up and I have to remind him and I have to remind me, hey, wait a minute. That life's gone. You're not in control here anymore. I'm not going to act that way, do that thing, or whatever it is that he's trying to get me to do. Because I'm going to trust in the one and only true living God who gives us the ability to walk as an example to him. I sometimes harp on this point, but it angers me when people remind us that we are always going to sin. Oh, don't worry about it, brother. Don't worry about it, sister. Everybody sins. Word of God says I don't have to.
That's right.
And if the Word of God says I don't have to, then why would I walk around with the thought in my mind, well, if I stumble, it'll be okay. That's not the way to live. We should be living and fighting every day to say, devil, get out. Do not come in my house. Do not come in my presence. Do not touch my family. He has no power over you. If you're walking the way God wants you to walk, then he's just, the Lord is right there. And I don't care how close the devil gets, Jesus is in between you and him. We're protected by the power of God. Just like what I said earlier about the reality of you're not going to go anywhere, you're not going to die, you're not going to be taken out of this world until God says it's time. You and I don't know that time, but God does. But at the same way that I'm trying to get that across, just think about how God has put angels and warriors in the spirit, because what? We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers from on high. We battle in the heavenly. When your son or your grandson is hooked on drugs, it's not the drug dealer you got a problem with. It's the spirit behind the drug dealer that we need to get changed so he can't get that stuff to our kids. Now, I'm not saying pray for him and ask the Lord, you know, prosper him, Lord, so he'll make enough money so he can quit. That'll never happen. What you pray is that he finds Jesus.
Amen.
You pray that the drug dealer gets saved. You pray just like when Saul was out and he was gathering up all the Christians he could and he was putting them in prison, and he even stood by when Stephen was stoned. And then one day, what happened? You know, I'm sure that with the teachings that the disciples had, they didn't even believe it when it happened, but they had been praying against Saul, I'm sure. And when they prayed against him, they didn't pray, make him die, Lord. They said, save him. And what happened? God said, you know what? He's one of my chosen. I'm going to save him. And he saved Saul, and Saul became Paul. And Saul wrote most of the, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And he was what? He was sold out the whole route. When they got him back into town, and I can imagine the people that gave him the documents that said, hey, here they are. You know, I'm signing it. You now have authority to go after all the Christians you can find. And when they came back, I'm sure that it's not in the Word, but I'm sure there would have had to be a conversation by somebody saying, what in the world happened to you? And I can tell you without knowing what it's wrote down, what Paul said, he said, Jesus. He said, I met the Messiah. I met the real Son of God. And I'm sure they didn't like it, but I'm telling you, that's the boldness that Paul had. He displayed it all the time. That was who he was. Again, in Romans, it talks about mortifying our deeds, and I'm going to try and skip a couple here so I can wrap this up, but I want to say something about them. It says that if we will mortify the deeds of the body, he will give us life. In Luke 5, 36 through 39, it talks about the new wine that needs to be put into new body or new bottles. Now, think about that. Why would Jesus be telling us how to take care of the wine? I believe the fact that he's always teaching spiritually, he's talking about you and me. And remember where we just read and talked about the new body? Well, that's the new wine bag. And if you take the new wine bag and you put the Spirit in it, everything works. But if you're still in the old body, the old bag, and you put the Spirit in it, you're going to have conflict. It's not going to be able to stay in there. It's not going to be able to stay fresh. It's going to begin to leak out. It's going to become of no value. Because you can't put the Spirit in the old body. That's why every single person that is serving the Lord, every single person who has accepted Christ Jesus as their Savior, has the Holy Spirit living within them. Because the Holy Spirit is what changes and transforms us on the inside. The Holy Spirit's the one that has that little small voice that says, you really shouldn't be doing that. As our brother said this morning, he's wrapping up on his message. You know, he said the Lord spoke to him and he ignored it. Spoke to him again and he ignored it. And eventually, when he was in the middle of it, he's crying out to God. God said, I told you not to do that. I warned you. Does he not warn you and me? I mean, every day it seems like sometimes there's a battle. I mean, I have days when things are pretty smooth, but I have days when they aren't. I worry about income. I worry about sales, being somebody on commission. You know, if you don't sell, you don't get money. And every time since the Lord put me in this job, every single time that I get down and I'm starting to get into the mully grums, that I'm like, Lord, you know I've got to have more money. I ain't going to make it. And boom, phone rings. Somebody buys a machine. He never lets us down. You know? I mean, I'll give you a good example. The job I had before that was also selling equipment, but I was working for someone who had quit paying me. And the promise was down the road. I'll get you all caught up, but right now I don't have the money. He had changed manufacturers, and when you change manufacturers and start selling somebody else's stuff, it's hard to go in and say, you know the stuff I've been selling you? It's not as good as this stuff. I mean, I've been telling them this is the best option right now, and now I'm supposed to tell, oh, that's junk. You don't know about that. So we got down to the point where I thought I was going to lose my house. I even tried being a used car salesman. Found out I'm not a used car salesman. Mostly not because I couldn't sell cars, because I sold several cars, but the people I worked with would end up knowing somebody, and they would end up having the final paperwork in their name instead of mine, because they were buddies. But you know what God was doing? I think during that time, he was saying, remember, I told you to leave him and do what you're doing now. Because what I did is I went back to the old company that we'd been selling. And I've done better with the old company than I ever did when I worked for him ever. But that time period that I thought that I should be staying with him, because I just, for a lack of a better way of putting it, I felt like I was obligated to stay with him because I worked for him and he changed manufacturers, and I felt like I should stay with him and honor my commitment to him. And Carla, with a little bit more spiritual discernment, kept saying, you need to leave. You need to go back to where you were. You need to do this. And I'm like, I know, but, you know. Well, Lord was talking. I wasn't listening. Everyone is a warrior. Everyone. I'm going to ask my brother, if you'll play the song that I brought. I know we've all been there. We've all had those kind of things. That's why it's so important that we live for God by His Word, not by other people's opinions. That's why when He says if adultery is a sin, don't do it. Stealing's a sin, don't do it. You know, what did Jesus say when the one of the priests came and they decided they were going to try and trick Him, and they asked Him, well, what is the greatest commandment? And what did Jesus say? He said, the greatest commandment in all the commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy might, with all thy heart. And he didn't even, the guy didn't even ask for anything beyond that, but he went ahead and gave it an exclamation mark at the end. And he said, and the next one is, love thy neighbor as thyself. Because we all know that if we love our neighbor as well as we love us, and I'm not talking about being impressed with who we are, I'm talking about the fact that I don't want no one to steal from me. I got all kinds of stuff I don't use, but it's on my shelf, but don't steal it. I don't want anybody to come over and say, you know what, I like your Yorkie dogs. I think I'm going to take them. Whatever it is, what I'm trying to say is that we are to live as Christ lived. We are to be that example. In Corinthians, it says that we are the ambassadors for God. We are the light. And we need to be that light. And even though you're a warrior, and you are a warrior, when you do the Word of God, you are a modern-day warrior. You are putting to flight the enemy every time he comes to attack. You're taking out armies that the devil has been building for years. You're coming up against the most powerful thing there is besides God, but he knows and we know that he has no power unless we let him in. So what do? We continue living for God. If you read in his scripture something is unclean and ungood to do, try doing it. And I mean by try doing it, I mean follow the word. I mean take that thing out of your life that may be holding you back. See, all these things we think it's about image and stuff. It's not about image. It's about what's on the inside. It's about your heart and your relationship with Christ Jesus. Because we're not a religion, we're a relationship. We're a people who have a big brother who happens to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one we can call on when we're in trouble. And he will come to our rescue. I just want to encourage you this morning. Read the word. Obey the word. Become the word. And let Christ use you. Whether you have a job or don't have a job, whether you know all your neighbors or don't know all your neighbors, let your light shine and lead people to the kingdom of God. People don't want to hear it today, but they need it more today than they've ever needed it. Especially here in America where things are just being turned topsy-turvy upside down. The rest of the world's been dealing with this a long time, and we're just now coming into the time where these things are getting as bad as they are. You need a full relationship with God. Not just I go to church. I know the scripture. You need a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. And he will bring victory into your lives. Precious Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the